Hello and welcome to episode 1277 of The Sleeper and the Bus. It is Monday, April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. I'm your host, Paul Spohr, joined by Justin Mason. Justin, maybe we could have just switched who did the intro for April Fool's.
Think of a bit,
but we didn't do it. We got too much to cover in a nice little tight time frame. How's your weekend? Happy Easter. Enjoy opening weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolute blast. Teams starting off good for the most part, except for Bailey Ober. Bailey Ober's like, I'm going to give you a little April Fool's Day present a day early. But don't believe anything you see on Twitter today or anywhere.
Exactly. Unless it's from Danielle's account. About a wonderful new podcast coming out.
Even if your wife tells you that she loves you, like, go, not April Fool's, I know this trick.
Yeah, don't get caught up in that. But there's going to be all sorts of funny stuff. Anything that gets you excited or really upset, step back and realize what day it is. There was already a great one by our friends over at the Alamo Draft House. That's the place that Jen and I always go to, where they're doing Maize Dior. It's like caviar and gold covered popcorn for $10,000 with a 24 karat diamond ring in the middle of it too. So that was funny. It was a well done little spot that they did. And I'm sure you'll see all sorts of funny stuff out there. So just take it in stride and enjoy. Don't get duped by anything. But I had a nice weekend. Enjoyed baseball, of course. I actually went to a new place around town here that Jen and I used to go to in the airport. It's a place called Peach Tortilla, and they opened up one near us now. And I go there, and we're having a wonderful time eating. We were so excited about it. Turns out the owner knows this guy right here. And he was like the nicest guy ever. So, Eric, big shouts to you for taking care of us and really making my day and making Jen's day. She loves when I get recognized, which obviously I do too. I'm not, it happens so infrequently. I'm not going to pretend like I'm so arrogant that I don't love it, but she just thinks it's the craziest thing when someone knows me from our little baseball stuff. So, big pod listener. He's like, oh my God, are you Paul? I was like, sure am. He's like, I listen all the time. So big thanks there. We're going to definitely be going back to Peach Tortilla if you're in the Austin or greater Austin area. You got to check it out. It's a great place. They have one in our airport too. So if you are in Austin Bergstrom, check out the Peach Tortilla there.
Well, I know where I'm going next time I come out to visit.
And yes, next time you come visit, I will take you there. Maybe he'll be working at that time too, and he'll see both of us and then really go crazy. But yeah, that was a really cool experience. Had a good time with that. Enjoyed baseball weekend. I got to tell you, by the way, another little promo here. Not sponsored, but I got to do a little promo for Fubo TV. And let me give a big shout to the community. Y'all told me about this last year. I didn't act on it. But I've been a bitter berry about YouTube TV ever since they took away MLB Network. When I first got YouTube TV, I couldn't talk highly enough about it. I thought it was a fair price. They had everything we wanted. They had the channels I needed. Honestly, if you got MLB Network along with the live, you know, ESPNs and the network television where I can watch live sports, you're pretty much going to win with me. And then Bravo and a few other channels for Jen. And YouTube's just fallen down ever since. I swear I get an email, two emails a week, Justin. One tells us what channels they've lost. Two tells us how much the price is going up. And I swear I get these two emails every damn week. And it's just been, even ever since the MLB thing, it's just been constant price rises and channel losses. So this year I decided to do something about it because I like MLB Network quite a bit. I like MLB Central, the morning show. I like MLB Now, Brian Kenny's stat-based show. And I just like having it on. So I signed up for Fubo TV. Not only is it going to be a little bit cheaper than MLB or than YouTube TV, but they've got everything I want. And for the first time in forever, because YouTube TV didn't even have this, I'm going to have the Rangers and Houston games. They got both of their RSNs on there. So I'm finally not blacked out of the two Texas teams. I'm excited. So I got to watch all those games this week. Got to watch a bunch of MLB Network. Fubo TV, if you're looking to make a switch and you're mad at YouTube TV, they had a lot of good things, but I'm out.
I am looking to make a switch because I've had DirecTV forever, and it was in large part because I wanted the NFL Sunday ticket. Well, now the NFL Sunday ticket's on YouTube TV, so I've been debating switching to YouTube TV.
I will probably go back in the fall for the Sunday ticket because a friend and I like to have the Sunday ticket, my friend Jeff. And so I might be looking at it then, but for now, I'm done. And my subscription actually runs out for YouTube TV in about 2 weeks, which is perfect because I did want it to have to watch the tournament. Although I think the rest of the tournament is on network television anyway. So it was really just the first couple weekends where you need all the True TV and TBS and this, that, and the other. And look, I think I've mentioned this on the pod before, but people called this a long time ago that all this streaming stuff was going to become as bad as cable. And I got to be honest, I kind of thumbed my nose at it. I was like, no, it won't. It's so consumer friendly. I was a sucker, moron, idiot. Those people were 1,000,000,000% correct. And it's a freaking nightmare. But Fubo TV, at least for me right now, for my baseball needs, is awesome. So check if you're looking for your RSN, which is your regional sports network, along with MLB. That could be the winner. I got Astros, Rangers, MLB Network. It's got Bravo on it. So Jen and I are locked.
Yeah, because the only reason I have DirecTV at this point is so I can watch the Giants and the A's. Like, I don't watch anything else. I pay for subscriptions to Netflix and Prime. And
cancel Disney that. Plus Community out as of today on Netflix. So there goes my subscription to Netflix. They're moving Community to Peacock.
I've got Peacock. I end up between all of my streaming services and DirecTV, I'm spending like $400 a month.
It's crazy. It's insane. I'll do another unpaid promo, Rocket Money. It's one of those programs that tells you like all the stuff that you're subscribed to. Did help me find a bunch of crap that I had that I needed to stop paying for. You know, it's just $12-15 a month, but that shit adds up for services you're not even using. So anyway, enough unpaid promos here. Yeah. Let's get into some baseball. I know we talked about it on Friday, but we got more news on it, and it's just as sad as I thought it was going to be. Royce Lewis is going to be out at least a month with the quad, and I shouldn't even put at least a month. It's going to be a month plus, because a month is just the pure rest. He's resting for a month, and then we're going to kind of see what's what at that point with the strained quad. Turns out to be a severe quad strain. It's just so unbelievably unfortunate. My question is, are you cutting him anywhere? I did not in the main, where I have him. It's 15 teams, of course. I'm going to hold the spot for as long as I can. Obviously, push come to shove, if I start piling up the injuries, I might have to. But right now, I did not. Let's focus on 10s and 12s, the shallower formats where the waiver wire is going to be more robust. Are you cutting a Royce Lewis?
I mean, not if I have high L spots, which I think most 10s and 12s do.
Yeah.
So I would try to hold.
This is why you don't take IL players, though, because then your star fourth rounder gets hurt and you are murked. I know we just keep reiterating it, but this is why. This is why. You're holding as long as you can. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, you spend a fourth round pick. You don't want to like throw that back, because he will get scooped up. This will not be a situation where you can throw him onto the wire and then go pick him back up a week or two before he's supposed to come back. Someone will scoop him up and stash him. But again, like you just said, this is exactly why I try to stay as risk averse as possible. It's why I wasn't drafting Royce Lewis. You know, I wish he had stayed healthy, because I just think he is a fun player to watch. But from just a strategical point of view, like, I stay away from these guys that really struggle with health.
I think it's more of not taking already injured guys. Again, we can differ on that. I think it's just crazy that he gets hurt the very first day, though, after hitting a home run.
It's a home run and a double, and then gets fucked. Like,
and then gets hurt.
Prime Royce Lewis experience.
The whole gamut. Yeah. The good, the bad, and the ugly. They call up Austin Martin. Before we get into a couple of other potential third base replacements, any love for Austin Martin in deeper formats? I feel like it's AL only at the max right now. Maybe 15 teamers. What do you think of Austin Martin? One-time huge prospect. His star has dimmed a good bit, though.
Yeah, I think he's a watchless guy in most spots. Like, I don't, outside of AL only, I don't know that you're running to the wire to pick him up. But this is a good time to kind of watch and see, like, is he playing every day? If he's playing every day, then, you know, guys who play every day in 15 team leagues make sense. Like, even if they're not massive producers in home runs and RBIs. But for the most part, I think, AL only, and then kind of watch list him and kind of see what he does this week.
You know what I might take a look at? You know who really benefits here? And I think we did kind of call out that even though he wasn't penciled into the starting lineup to start, Willie Castro is going to find his playing time. I didn't think it would happen instantly for one of their superstars, but I knew Royce Lewis had injury risk. So I think Willie Castro is somebody to take a look at, even in something like 12s. You know, because he's going to be available there. He's not going to be available in 15s. He was drafted in most of them. But do you like Willie Castro in 12s and maybe even some 10s if you need speed, now that he's going to be the everyday third baseman?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be playing every day, and this is a guy who stole 33 bases or something like that last year. And yeah, I mean, that's a ton of value. And he's multi-position eligible, so you can move around your lineup. I mean, I was big on Willy Castro coming into the season. I was not dissuaded by the fact that he didn't, quote unquote, have a spot.
Didn't bother me at all.
We knew, like, they've got Byron Buxton, they've got Max Kepler, they've got Alex Kirilloff, they've got Royce Lewis, I got all these guys who
Carlos Correa. With health.
Carlos Correa, Carlos Santana's ancient. Like, I mean, there's just so many opportunities for Castro to get in the lineup. And now he's got that full-time spot. Like, he could legitimately steal like 40, 50 bases if he's playing full-time. And I think he's going to, because by the time Royce Lewis comes back, someone else will be hurt.
Probably. And so Castro will just move on to that spot. Oswaldo Cabrera dominates, starting all four games, has a huge opening weekend for the Yankees, you know, made some swing changes. Apparently was working with Soto, his new teammate, and, you know, people were seeing some changes right away. He's playing over there at third. He does not qualify at third yet. He's outfield only right now, but he's an interesting pickup. We saw him get picked up a bunch in the main event landscape. What do we think about Oswaldo Cabrera in those 15s? And then give me a thought if you're, whether or not you're considering him in 12s as well.
So this is an interesting one, because I think a lot of it just depends on how long LeMahieu's out for. Because right now he's playing third base, and there's no real spot in the outfield for him with Soto right and Judge out there. Yeah, right now. But again, this is another guy who could just end up being a full-time player the rest of the way.
Exactly.
One, it's not like LeMahieu is that good anymore, and the Yankees don't necessarily need to keep LeMahieu as an everyday player. LeMahieu could just be like a utility infielder when he comes back. Plus, he's dealing with like a broken foot. Like,
yeah, there's a fracture in his foot.
Who knows how long he's going to be out for it. Cabrera is, he's shown some real plate skills improvements. He's got power. He's played every single game for the Yankees. He was a guy, like, I was not able to get any of the kind of big name closers this weekend, but I did get Oswaldo Cabrera in a few leagues.
What'd you pay?
Like $40.
Yeah, I got a little too aggro. I brought my bids down, my bid down in one of them. I got them in both mains, which is great. I'm happy about that. My friend actually made a comment about him in my chat on Wednesday night, and I was like, yeah, but this stupid birdie trade, because, you know, I've been an Oswaldo guy in the past, but I was like, nah, this stupid birdie trade, I'm not gonna go too crazy here. I'll see what happens there. But I ended up getting him 33-28 in one of them, and then I didn't lower the other one. I should have brought that one down to 33. That one would have worked. Instead, I've spent 77, so I'm not mad about that. I wanted it to be a little bit higher because that was the Matt McClain cut, and I wanted Matt McClain off the team, you know? So I kind of went a little bit more aggro. So obviously way too much, 77 versus 23 backup bid, but I don't, like, that's not killing me. I don't think I'm going to be regretting, even if he's somebody I cut in a month, Oswaldo Cabrera, a $77 flame out wouldn't be the end of the world there. I'm just mad because I wanted to bring both down, and I just forgot to bring the other one down because I was going back between the two leagues, and I just didn't bring down the 77 bid. But he went over 100 in like eight or nine of the leagues, upwards of 168. The guilds put 168 on him twice, 33 and 24 backups. So, you know, it really was, should have been somewhere in like the 60s, even if you wanted to be aggressive on him. There weren't many backups that were coming in over $45-$50. But I like Oswaldo Cabrera. I'm excited. Classic Spore year early. He was on my breakouts last year. We'll see. You're right. It's a week. It's a half week. It's four games. But I'm excited by Oswaldo Cabrera. And he will eventually gain third base eligibility. So if you can maneuver, maybe he could be your Royce Lewis backup inadvertently, or indirectly, I should say.
We're not going to talk about him today, but the classic Justin Mason year early is Brady Singer.
I know. And then has the big Sunday game. Actually, we are going to talk about him. Under the Justin Steele replacements. So JD Davis pops off in Oakland. Hey, that accidental pick where I got autoed him because of the clock change worked out, because I actually ended up starting him too. What do we think about a little JD Davis action? We know the playing time's going to be there. Hits a couple bombs. He's got power. Is he somebody to pick up in 12s, perhaps, for your Royce Lewis replacement?
I think he is if you need power. I mean, I know it's Oakland and people are always afraid of that, but JD Davis has real man power. And this will be like his first time where he is getting just like full run. Like there is nobody else in Oakland. Now, long term, like he probably gets traded at some point at the trade deadline to go, and maybe he becomes like a backup corner guy or a guy who platoons. But for right now,
you sure Carney Lansford isn't chasing him down for some playing time?
Good. But like right now, like this is like a perfect like guy you can like get off the wire in a number of leagues. I drafted him towards the end of my main event. So he's been really, really nice just sitting in my CI spot, hitting bombs. And I mean, like if he hits 35 home runs, like I'm not going to be surprised. Like
I'm not
Davis
either.
Always had power. It's just never gotten the full-time playing time he needed.
Exactly. JD Davis absolutely rakes. He was picked up in 99 OCs, which are 12 teamers, the RotoWire online challenge or online championship rather. And so there 12 team viability there. I think 12 team viability in your Yahoos and your ESPNs as well, especially if you use CI, but to be your Royce Lewis replacement. Now, he's not going to give you the speed that you were hoping from Royce, so depends on your team context, but I do like JD Davis. I keep wanting to say JD Martinez. Justin Steele out a month with a hamstring. That was a real bummer, man. Made an excellent play on a bunt. Grabs the back of his leg immediately, does the yell into the glove. The yell into the glove seems to always be bad news. Like it's like they know, and so they're pretty pissed about that. I imagine you're holding everywhere with Justin Steele?
Yeah, I think you have to.
I think you got to go as long as you can.
Yeah.
Without, and it would have to be pretty extreme to need to cut him in a non-IL situation. Ben Brown called up. Let's talk about him first, because I think he debuted on Saturday. So for the main event universe, he got in there on Saturday, which made him eligible to be picked up yesterday. Any love for Ben Brown? Like it was a relief appearance, but he could get in the rotation because I don't think that they're that interested in Drew Smyly. So what do you think about Ben Brown in a 15 team or deeper situation?
I'm a little worried about Brown. Like Brown was like a top tier pitching prospect for like a quick minute. And then he walked the yard last year
when he got murdered in this outing. I should point out too, six earned in an inning and two thirds, but it did make him eligible.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of want to wait and see a little bit. And I think other people are going to probably be more aggressive because he does have a little bit of that prospect pedigree. But the control problems, you know, are just a little bit too scary for me. I don't know how deep he is going to go into games, how long he's going to be into the rotation for. So I'm probably a little bit more skeptical of just running and grabbing Ben Brown right now than other people are. I didn't even have him in my bids yesterday. I would rather pick up, like, you know, relievers that might get saves in kind of, you know, scary situations. So I'm not as in on Brown.
No, me neither. I don't think you need to really take a look at it. We'll see what happens. You know, this week he's not going to get the start, unless it's like a late week start right now, but I don't think so. Smyly looks like he's going to be going on Wednesday, and the weekend is Hendricks, Wicks, Imanaga, so I don't think they're going to do any shuffling there. So I don't think he's much of a play. Some potential replacements for Justin Steele in both shallow and deep formats here. Like in the shallower formats, guys like Jared Jones, Jack Flaherty going to be available. Deeper, you're looking at like a Paul Blackburn and Brady Singer, two guys that popped off this weekend. Let's start with Jared Jones. He went crazy. 10 strikeout effort, looked every bit like the guy that people were excited about. I know that you had mentioned that you sat him in this first outing, which I totally understand. You know, people be a little bit cautious with it, kind of see what's what. But he looks great. How do we feel about Jared Jones after his first start here?
I feel fantastic. Unfortunately, going up against Baltimore, I don't know how great I feel about starting in this week either.
I think you sit.
Yeah, I'm going to start him in one spot where it's either him or Brandon Pfaadt, who's going up against Atlanta. So
yeah.
I think I'd much rather have Jared Jones at home versus the Orioles.
I don't know if I'd much rather, but I would rather. I would rather.
Pittsburgh's still a really nice park to pitch in. So
True.
You know, Pfaadt having to go, I think, to Atlanta like that to me is just a little bit.
That's terrible.
A little bit scary. And I love Pfaadt. Pfaadt pitched really well this weekend, too. So, but yeah, I mean, I think Jones is a must pick up in every league. If for some reason he is still on your wire, like
41% at Yahoo. There.
I know. So, like, he should be rostered in every format. And I mean, there's a ton of strikeout potential. You know, the walks were a little bit concerning, but You know, like I think, you know, watching the outing, I think I chalk a little bit of that up to just a little bit of nerves. But man, sure. when he was hitting his spots, like he was unhittable. 10 strikeouts is, you know, a great sign of that. So, yeah, I think Jared Jones could be here to stay. And yeah, if you got him on the wire, like he's the guy to go after right now.
I agree. You want to go for Jared Jones. If you are in one of the 40% of leagues in Yahoo where he is rostered, maybe you pivot to Jack Flaherty, although he's 60%. So he's less available, but maybe one of them is available and the other isn't. Jack Flaherty looked excellent. It was against the White Sox, but six strong innings. The velo back up about a half tick from last year to 93.6, 30% K rate, no walks, 14% swinging strike. Jack Flaherty looked excellent. What do you think about Jack Flaherty in shallower formats where he's available?
I'm not as like ready to like, maybe it's PTSD from years of Jack Flaherty abusing me the last couple of years. But like, I just can't with him. Like he, you know, the 93.5 is better than last year, but it's not the 95 we saw at the peak of his career. Now he could build up to that. And all of a sudden midsummer he's 95 and we're like, hey, it's old Jack Flaherty back. But I think there's just a good a chance that he is the Jack Flaherty we saw the last year and the year before, which is someone who just torches your ratios. So I'm probably staying away from Flaherty for other options.
Yeah, I don't agree. I'm definitely in on Flaherty, particularly this week with a trip or a host of Oakland. Got them coming into town, so definitely in there. It gets Minnesota at home the following week, so we'll kind of see where we're at there. I mean, obviously, it depends what's available, but, you know, if Jones is I'll prioritize Jones over Flaherty. I got no problem with that. But in your 12s, I don't know. You know, if he's already 60% rostered at Yahoo, there's obviously not a ton of guys that are going to be, or he's not available in a ton of leagues. So there's some love for Flaherty. I don't know. I think you might be missing the boat a little bit on Flaherty. Maybe. I understand the previous burnings that could have you a little bit nervous. You know, Gavin Stone's at 57%. Tyler Wells is at 55. I like both those guys. Walk is at 53. The other Royal that we're going to talk about here is very low. Low roster rate at Yahoo. Paul Blackburn is free. He went and popped off. So I like Flaherty a bit more. I think, you know, of these four guys, Jones, Flaherty, Blackburn, Singer, I think Flaherty's on the best team. I do think my Tigers are the best team there. I know you're a KC guy. So you might be a Pittsburgh guy. So maybe you like Jones's out.
But I like Tigers too. So I think it's arguable that the Tigers are the best team here. It's definitely not Paul Blackburn's team, that's for sure.
No, but let's talk Paul Blackburn. He dominated Cleveland. We've seen flashes from Paul Blackburn before. We even saw like an extended, you know, couple month flash a couple seasons ago. But he looked pretty sharp on, I think it was it yesterday or was it Saturday? Either way, it was over the weekend. Not much on the strikeout front, though. But did go seven innings, velo up from 91.9 last year to 97.2, so just about a mile an hour. Very few walks. In fact, I think just one walk in the seven innings. But again, only three Ks and not much swing and miss stuff behind it with an 8% swing strike rate. That's never really been Paul Blackburn's game, though. He's a ground ball guy who can succeed at home. This is more of a deeper league play. Were you interested in him at all heading to Detroit this week and then hosting Washington next week? I thought with those two outings, as much as I like my Tigers, the offense is not the scariest portion of that team. I think they're led by pitching. I had Blackburn on my list and, you know, or as you call it, waterfall, like Jeff Erickson says on the RotoWire, where you got him deeper in your list. I didn't get him because I got my other guys, but I was interested in Blackburn. What about you with the next two starts being at Detroit and home to Washington?
Yeah, I don't mind him as like a short-term streamer. The problem with Paul Blackburn is the lack of strikeouts combined with how bad that team is. Just makes him really, really difficult to use because you're not going to get strikeouts and you're not going to get wins. And that's two of the four categories. And then the ratios, those things can be fleeting, right? Like you can just have a bad outing that's not really your fault, you know, that ends up just destroying your week. And so while Blackburn, especially in 15 teamers, like makes a lot of sense to stream kind of during this, you know, during this stretch, like there's very limited upside and a huge amount of downside if he just, you know, gives up a home run or two, you know, on a bad day.
Just not that much in 15 teamers, though. So that's why he wound up on my list. It's just like, what else are you going to go for?
And this is why I went for relievers this week. Like, I just, like, you know, like, I definitely had some starters on my waterfalls, but like, I leaned heavily towards relievers, and, you know, other starters will emerge.
Yeah, I mean, they will. And, you know, minor leaguers will come up. And so we'll see. We'll see who emerges there. But I liked Blackburn with these next two potential starts. We take it start by start with somebody like Paul Blackburn. And you do have to be careful because there is no dominance. So he's at the mercy of batted balls.
Yeah.
Brady Singer went crazy, like you mentioned, a year early. You know, one start doesn't mean that he's popping off any more than four games for Oswaldo Cabrera means that, you know, my love for him is now proven right. But it was the Brady Singer that you were hoping to see last year with a big dominance play. 18% swinging strike rate led to 10 strikeouts in the seven innings, just three hits, just one walk. He looked awesome, Brady Singer did, in those seven innings of work. Are we in on Brady Singer? Were you looking at him this weekend? The tough part was it was a Sunday start, which means it was on everybody's radar, especially with the White Sox coming up. So it's an obvious start this week too. But what'd you think of Brady Singer?
Man, this is a bummer for me because I was huge on Brady Singer, and he's kind of changed his pitch mix a little bit to be more slider heavy, which I think is really, really good. The only problem is he's still a two-pitch guy. He only threw like four changeups this entire outing.
Everything else was working, you know?
I know, but what happens when you don't have the feel for your slider?
No, I agree. Yeah, like, I agree. I'm just saying in this case, it didn't matter, but you're right. That's the issue, right? Is that it's not that two-pitch guys can never have success. It's what do you do when one of those is out, let alone, you know, those days when maybe both, one's off and the other's mediocre and you have no third pitch to consistently turn to.
Yeah. You have to if you're going to do a two pitch mix, you have to have two elite pitches. And I don't think that Brady Singer has two elite pitches. I think he's got one really, really good pitch and one above average pitch.
The slider being the great one, right?
Yeah. The slider being the great one. So, to me, like, I feel like this is a little bit of fool's gold until we start to see like that changeup start to increase a little bit in usage. Like, even if you just get a 10%, like, or find a different third pitch, like, I just think this is going to have bad results in the long term. Now, for right now,
don't worry about the long
run. Ride with it. Yeah,
exactly.
But for right now, I'm totally fine riding with it. This was a guy that I talked about. I can't remember if it was here or on my other podcast, but as like, hey, he's got a really soft opening schedule.
Yep.
So enjoy the really soft opening schedule and the good home park. And maybe you can, you know, ride with it for a little bit. But yeah, until I see a third pitch really develop, I'm not going to be like all in on Brady Singer again.
I think at least in my main, he was drafted in one. He was drafted, and somebody probably saw that he was opening Minnesota, which is a solid team, by the way. But it was at home, and then the White Sox after that. That's
originally he was supposed to be at Baltimore, and then home versus the White Sox this week. He wasn't supposed to pitch on opening weekend, but Michael Walker getting hit with the comebacker moved him up.
Well, frankly, I like that better. I don't want anybody against Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore. Yeah.
This ended up working out better because Minnesota, again, I respect them. They're a good team, but I like Baltimore. I like facing Minnesota at home and then the White Sox this week. But in my league, he went $10, Brady Singer, with a $9 backup, right? So that's a literal spot start. I would, you know, if he does well here, I might bench him and see what happens against Houston the following week, or I might just flat out cut him. I don't know that you need to hold Singer, even if he dominates the White Sox. I don't know if you need to hold him beyond this week. I'm totally fine treating this like a literal spot start and then going from there. Not even necessarily team streamer, depending on what your pitching looks like. Because, like I said, he gets Houston the following week, and I don't care how well he does here. I ain't starting him for that one.
Yeah.
Sean Murphy out for a month, at least with an oblique. Hey, Travis d'Arnaud is relevant again. Now, there is a lot of depth at catcher, but first off, do you have Sean Murphy anywhere?
Yeah, unfortunately, in the places where I've got Sean Murphy, they're either draft champions or they're leagues where Travis d'Arnaud's already drafted because of 15-team, two casual leagues. So,
that's
David Fry to the rescue, baby. We talked about David Fry on Friday, and he was my $1 pickup.
For a buck, I like it.
In those leagues. So, it's just kind of a bummer. Just, I mean, you know, we were all kind of texting, you, me, Jason, and Eno, And like Jason's all like, oh, Sean Murphy just destroyed his oblique. And thankfully it's only grade one. And so he should only miss like 4 to 6 weeks.
It sucks though, man.
Still sucks. Yeah.
I love Sean Murphy, and I was actually, I didn't get him anywhere. So I kind of got lucky, but I was back in because I thought that people were making too much out of the quote unquote bad second half when it was really just bad, 55 bad September plate appearances. But obviously this injury stings. Looking at Yahoo, where that's often one catcher. So there's some availability here on some guys, Elias Diaz, Alejandro Kirk, and Travis d'Arnaud are all, and Shea Langeliers are all under 20%. So is Ryan Jeffers. So is Tyler Stevenson. To my point, it's wide open.
Yeah.
Are you just streaming like week to week, or do any of those jump out to you that you would want?
I think I'm streaming week to week, especially in like a 10 team or 12 team, one catcher league. Like just look for matchups and play them.
Bo Naylor's 43% even in Yahoo. Camposano's 52. So you mean you have a
Bo Naylor, who's in a straight platoon right now?
He is in a straight platoon. Yeah.
Like I said, he would be.
Yeah, he is. You did not. You said they might play Austin Hedges more. You did not say that they would be in a straight platoon.
I said he would not be the, like, you know, quote unquote full time guy.
You said,
like,
yeah, you said they've played him before. Watch out for that. You were correct, but let's just keep your words what they are.
All right.
This week, it's all righties, though. So Will Hedges even get one game, do you think? You think he just gets?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I heard that he's Bieber's personal catcher, too.
I'm sure he is.
So if he starts tomorrow, if Austin Hedges starts tomorrow when Bieber starts, there you go. So he'll automatically go again with Bieber starts and against lefties. Now, the following week, they only have one lefty, and it happens to be the Bieber start, but Bieber is a two-star guy, so he might get two starts next week, Austin Hedges. We're not advocating picking up Austin Hedges. This is more about
if Austin Hedges gets more than that, we start getting really worried
then
about
there's Naylor. Trouble about Bo Naylor, absolutely, especially in one catcher leagues, because catcher is just so dang deep this year. So be mindful of that for sure. All right, let's continue on here. SP meltdown reactions. I just want to see where you're at. Let me know where, if anywhere, you're cutting these guys and what's going on. Let's start with your boy, Bailey Ober. Maybe all your hype of him kept you out of him in the main event because people were really pushing him up. And then he goes out and just melts, dude. Now, this is exactly the Bailey Ober downside, right? Is home runs. Like, it's as straightforward as it gets that, like, when he's off, it's usually home runs that gets him. Three bombs and just a nightmarish start. What are you doing with Bailey Ober after the meltdown?
Nothing. This is not, like, something I'm super
not even sitting him, right?
No, like, I mean, me, I can't imagine there's a spot in which he's getting sat for me. Like, I just, if somebody drops him off of this, I will run straight to the wire and pick him right up. Like, I just,
and I would pay a premium to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally agree. Cannot agree more on that. Just don't overreact here. This is a nightmare start. You paid way too much of a premium for that. The rest of these guys, though, you didn't. So I had to include Bailey because people would say, why you didn't talk about Justin's guy to protect him or some crap. But, of course, we were going to talk about him. But these next five, they're a bit more open, especially if you drafted them in 12-teamers where there's going to be more options. Let's go to Miami because we got a lot to talk about there. They had a lot of spring standouts that were going to cover all their injured guys. And A.J. Puck was looking pretty excellent in spring. Had a really good year last year, too, in the bullpen where he really cut down his walk rate. Well, what the hell happened with that? 43% walk rate with six free passes in his, in his two innings of work, led to a minus 36% strikeout minus walk. That's pretty rough, Justin. But AJ Puck, a two inning nightmare, velo down. What are we doing here?
I mean, I was not in on Puck coming into the season. I'm still not in on him as a starter.
Gets the Angels this week, though. Let's say you were in on him. What would you be doing then?
I mean, I think if you start me against the Angels, then it'd be okay. Just got to avoid Mike Trout.
That's kind of where I'm at, right? If you got him, I think you stick with Puck this week. And then if it's another dud, he's got a trip to the Yankees after that. I think it's a cut.
I agree.
But if he settles down here.
This scares me, especially the velo drop. Like, this is a guy who's dealt with a lot of injuries. You know, he's not, you know, used to throwing innings because he's been a reliever.
He didn't throw innings on this one either. Only two.
Yeah. Man, that was Velo beat up, but no, not.
That shit was brutal, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, that was so freaking brutal.
And you know, most people ate it. Like, it's just, I mean, I haven't checked Matty Wood's little thing of, you know.
The meltdown meter or whatever he does. Yeah. I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's something.
The terrible outing meter. Of course, the first one I see is Bailey Ober.
I was going to say Bailey Ober got to be up there for
100%
sure.
Started in mains, 100% started in OCs. Max Fried. I totally forgot he
got Fried and Nolo. Yeah, they had a rough one. Okay. Well, while you're looking up that one, let's bring up another Marlin here, Trevor Rogers. Now, didn't have quite as much hype, but coming back from injury, also had a solid spring. Goes out, it has more swing and miss, but also dealt with some walks, 4 walks along with 6 strikeouts in 5 innings. This was more of a standard issue crummy start than nightmare holy shit like Puck and Obers.
Yeah.
So what are we doing with Rogers?
I think he's kind of a team streamer, especially in 15s.
Yeah.
But even in 12s, like I still like Rogers quite a bit. So I'm not like overly worried about it as of yet.
Trip to St. Louis this week for Trevor Rogers.
Ooh, that's
good part.
St. Louis.
Solidly decent lineup.
And they crush lefties usually. So I would probably sit him this week.
Okay. And then you're not starting him next week for sure, even if he goes and throws a no-hitter this week because it's Atlanta.
Yeah, no, I'm not starting him. So,
but you are team streaming Rogers.
In 10s and 12s, you can drop him then. Like, just go drop him for somebody else.
If you took the shot on Rogers, I'm okay with that. Even if you're not out, just because if you don't like the St. Louis start, you drop him because you know you're not starting Rogers for Atlanta, and then you maybe try to get him back if you still like him.
Yeah.
But other than that, you can hang on and kind of see what's what. I'm more open to the St. Louis start, but it's not a must for me. I agree with you on the team streamer aspect, meaning maybe I go ahead and start the St. Louis one and then sit for Atlanta. No shot I start Atlanta, though. Again, he could throw a no-hitter at St. Louis, and I would not start Trevor Rogers against Atlanta. Do not do that. All right, and then one last Miami one, Ryan Weathers. Also kind of a surprise rotation option because of all the injuries they dealt with. Also falls apart a bit. Going to go to St. Louis. He gets that first start there. That's the home opener in St. Louis. Again, more a run-of-the-mill bad start. 23% K rate, 9% walk, 12% swinging strike. 500 BABIP kind of burnt him. The best of the three, I think, in terms of the start that he had, despite it only being 4 innings. Velo was at 96.7, which is up from 95.1 last year, so that's encouraging. What do you think about Weathers, and are you sticking with him at all?
I think, again, he's a team streamer, but I think he also got, like, just BABIP to hell. He had a 500 BABIP in this one and, like, a 62% ground ball rate. I just think balls just kept finding holes. So, like, I'm not as worried about him as maybe other guys. Like, I would probably – if I had to, like, decide between keeping Ryan Weathers and, like, AJ Puck, I'm keeping Ryan Weathers. I just think Puck has a better chance of just being slid right back into the bullpen. And then Weathers does. So I think if Weathers is on the team, he's a starter. I don't think he's getting put in the bullpen.
I don't think he's going in the bullpen, well, especially right now, because like who are they going to turn to with all the injuries?
Well, I just mean like when they come back, when the guys come back.
Yeah. Unfortunately, none of these guys are being started next week, regardless of what they do, because the other series they have is at the Yankees.
Yeah.
So Puck and Weathers can bounce back with big gems, and you're still sitting them next week. At New York, and then like I already said with Rogers versus Atlanta, and then Max Meyer, he gets the start today. He actually gets a two-step this week, Angels and at St. Louis, so we'll kind of see what's up with him. But he's another guy that had a lot of intrigue. So far so bad for the Marlins, unfortunately, but I don't want to jump off these guys too quickly. It's only been 4 days, and I'm already seeing the crazy overreactions. We get it every single year, but it always surprises me that people do not learn and they
don't
just
react unless there's a skill change or like a skill change or a role change. Like just don't overreact right now.
Luis Severino, not a great outing for him either. Got roughed up a bit early, ended up 22% K rate, whatever, but only 6% swinging strike rate in his 5 innings. No walks, so that's a positive, but the velo was down a mile an hour to 95.5 for Severino. So kind of a mixed bag in terms of the skills, but a 550 BABIP, so he was a bit nickel and dimed as well. I like Severino coming into the year. I don't think I'm jumping off here. 10s and 12s, again, these other guys here, we're talking mostly in the 15. I want to know where you're at, because there a lot of them are available in 10s and 12s already. So you can make your decisions there a little bit more openly. Severino's going to Cincinnati and Atlanta the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're not starting him anyway. So, like, I don't mind dropping him.
I don't mind either, and hoping he just kind of lasts if you want to get back in and you need the spot, because he did give up 12 hits, 6 runs. So, yeah, I think I do cut Severino in the shower leagues. What about 15? Would you have cut Severino yesterday?
Probably not.
I don't think I would have.
I mean, another guy who just got BABIP'd all to hell. 550 BABIP yesterday. Like XERA, the FIP, the XFIP, like said, he should have been, like, not great, but at least mediocre.
Was 10 singles.
Start. Yeah, like
a double and a homer. You know, the two-run homer by Hoskins, a double by Adames, sure. But it was 10 singles.
Yeah.
So I still like Severino. I'm holding in 15s. The only reason I'm cutting in 10s and 12s is because it's at Cincy, at Atlanta after this.
You're not going to use him for 2 weeks. Pick him up.
Exactly. So I think you take your chances. And if somebody scoops him, you tip your cap and you move on. But I want to use that roster spot for the singers of the world and try to get some starts while I can. Even somebody like Blackburn, I think I'd pick up for the Detroit and Washington starts over Severino right now. So not fully out on him, just acknowledging devastating matchups coming up. Kenta Maeda got murked, and he's kind of like Ober. I mean, he was on the Twins last year, and he fits their model. Great core skills, but home runs when there's trouble. And guess what? There was trouble, and it was home run related in Chicago there. He gives up 3 bombs, so it ends up being 6 runs on 7 hits and a walk and 3 1/3. But he comes back with an Oakland start this week. So I'm inclined to still stick with Maeda and run him out there. But where do you come out with Kenta Maeda?
I think this start against Oakland is a really big turning point for Kenta Maeda. Because the velocity was down, like it was like 89. And I don't think he can live there. Like if he's throwing 89 regularly, like that's too scary for me. So if he gets murked versus Oakland, I'm done on Kenta Maeda. Not that I was in on him. He was not a guy I was drafting this year, but like if he was on my roster and he gets lit up by Oakland, then yeah, you're gone, dude.
And I agree there too. Like I like Maeda definitely more than you. But if he gets smoked by Oakland, he got to go situation for sure.
He gave up a ton of hard contact.
He did. I mean, it's homers. Like the ball was leaving the yard in a hurry. Like it was not good. He was leaving pitches fat. Velo was down. There's reasons to be concerned, but you know, windy. Maybe didn't appreciate the weather. I don't know. I don't want to make excuses for him. I'm starting him versus Oakland, but it's do or die here.
Yeah,
I'm starting, and if it flops, auto gone for Kenta Maeda. All right, got some closer news here, and obviously we know the two big guys that were going for heavy prices. Actually, a third, depending on how available Abner Uribe was and when you drafted and what was up with Devin Williams by then. But let's get into this and see where you're at. Jason Foley's prices were sky high, over 200 plus in all the mains where he went. And I just couldn't do it. And God, it took 1 week, not even, it took a half week for me to realize why I fucking hate chasing saves so much, Justin. It was a nightmare. I didn't get him. I didn't get Ginkle. What do you think about Foley? I think my biggest fear is that Hinch has been clear that they're going to play matchups. It's just that he looked good in 2 saves. So people jumped big. Where were you at on Foley?
I got fully in one league where I spent $17 in labor, but that's a $100 fab league with no $0 bid. So I probably overspent, especially because your rebate got one for $6. Oh, that hurts. This is what happens when you don't know the league and your league mates as well. My first year in labor, but I understand why people did it, because Foley's looked fantastic and unlike
nasty.
Ginkle's gonna lose that job once Seawall comes back. I don't care what some people, including smart industry friends, are saying, Ginkle could hold the job all year. He's not holding the job all year. He could get the job back if Seawall fails when he comes back, but they're gonna give it back to Seawall. Whereas like Foley could just run with this job. I know that Hinch has said like they're gonna play matchups. I do believe that's the truth, but like Alex Lang struggles with his control. And Foley just looks so good right now. So, like, I get why people spent that much. I think it's just a bad process. Like, you're spending way too much of your fab. There are people right now with under $300 worth of fab left, and we're not even like, or we just got to April today. Like, it's like you just won't be able to compete at the end of the season or in the middle of the season if you got hit by a bunch of injuries without that fab. And like, I put $100 bids on Foley. I didn't get him anywhere. My biggest bid on Foley, in NFBC at least, was not the smallest bid that he went for in the entirety of NFBC. So like, I just was not getting him with $100. I think I did $113 or something like that. He didn't go for $113 in any main event league. So I just, to me, like, I get why people did it. I agree with the general premise. I just don't like the execution and spending that much fab this early.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against spending this early, right? Because you're trying to take the chance at getting somebody for a full season. I just don't know that Foley and Ginkle are the guys for me. Because, again, Hinch has been clear that it's going to be, you know, matchups-based. And they're really, like, as good as Foley looked, throwing 100-mile-an-hour sink pieces, it was great. He doesn't miss bats, really. He breaks bats. He keeps the ball down. I mean, he has a 50% K rate right now. So people are like, what do you mean? Okay, he struck out two of the four batters he's faced. Sure, but that's not normal for him. Now, if he does start missing bats at a higher clip, then all bets are off. But right now, he's more of like a bruised dark Gratterall type, which can be very useful, but still doesn't have the dominance that you normally look for in the ninth inning. So honestly, I was more open to like a spec shot on Shelby Miller still, who I've been liking, and I liked in my draft champions as a spec. And, you know, I think Chafin will get occasional saves. I'm not really going for Chafin in fantasy because he's just a lefty, but he'll get occasional saves when it's two or three lefties in a row. And then even some other spec guys that we're going to talk about here in a moment on other ball clubs because of how high Foley and Ginkle went. And I agree with you too. Seawald's going to get the opportunity right when he gets back. If he flops or if the injury is worse than expected, then Ginkle could hold it. But you're really putting a lot of money in because, like, how many saves do you get in a month? Like eight? Not even. Well, that's a 40 save guy.
Yeah.
That's almost a 50 save guy.
Six.
So, yeah. So, five or six, that's not worth $200 for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. I mean, Ginkle was great in the playoffs, but so was Seawald. So, those are like the two guys I'm that sorry. They trust.
Like, to me, like, it's when you got a guy who's closed in, he closed games and won games in the NLCS, you really think they're going away from him? Like, yeah, I know he didn't save anything in the World Series, but they only won one game in the World Series and they won it by eight runs. So, like I don't think they're going away from Seawald when he comes back. I think they're going to give it back to him. Could he lose it at some point? Absolutely. He gives up home runs. Like, this is a team that needs to win games to stay in the division race, if you know, or the wild card race. But I just think that Seawald's going to get that job back. And I just think the Ginkle bids were just insane. I mean, someone spent like $470-something on Ginkle.
How much?
I think it was 470.
Oh, what wasn't that Dalton Del Don?
Was it?
In TGFBI, I think. Somebody messaged me on Twitter saying...
No, D3. In a main, I want to say it was.
In a main, he went that high. Oh, my goodness.
Give me a sec. I'll bring it up because, like, yeah, it was unreal when I saw it. I was like,
I think my tweet where I sent it out
$457. And the runner up was $368. Both bids, it was Dalton in a main. But both bids were higher than any other league's bidding. Oh, like, the two guys just went at it. God. But, I mean, we, like, you know, I love Dalton. Dalton's a great player.
He likes to go aggro early.
He was a guy who spent, like, $500 on Josh Lowe after the first week of the season in our Vegas man.
So, he was
like,
a year early. He was a year early on that.
He was a year early. But, like, there were three leagues that he went over $300, and, like, that, to me, like, just puts you at two big of a deficit in your fab. I can't do it.
Yeah, that scares me. It scares me. That's so high. And 479 was the high for Foley. Do you like Foley more than Ginkle in terms of like the long term? Because he has a better chance to hold, because you're set that Seawald is going to be the guy when he comes back. What do you think the chances are that Foley is the dude?
I'm going to say 70.
Okay, 70% chance. You know, and obviously there's, we're just throwing something out. Yeah, that's your confidence rating. I'm not holding you to anything there. Yeah. You know, I like Shelby Miller. I'm not, like, we can't even fully be out on Lang. He looked like crap over the weekend, but, like, he threw, what, two innings? Like, who gives a shit? I understand moving on from him right now for Foley and all that, but, like, he's not necessarily done. So, yeah, these bids were just, they were so high for me, man. They were just really, really high. And I want a second closer, and I couldn't. Too many good hitters and starters were going when those second closers were going, and my two main second closer targets both got a save in the Korea series, so their prices, Evan Phillips and Robert Suarez, were pushed up, and it really screwed me, man, because I wanted to go Ace, Diaz, Clase, Hader, you know, Iglesias type guy up there, and then one of the Padre or Philly, his name is Phillips, not Philly, or Dodger guy. And they just ended up going like a round later than those guys instead of four rounds later, like they were going in the winter. Stupid Korea series, even though I enjoyed watching those games. All right.
That Korea series got me a win and a save.
By the way, we didn't even talk about your Daniel Hudson gambit. You paid for the win, and then you got a sneaky save yesterday, dude. Best 23rd round pick ever. And you cut him this week, and you're back on getting another roster spot. Mm-hmm. Kenley Jansen's back is flaring up. And, you know, he had some issues in spring. I was actually kind of surprised that he was ready to rock, but turns out maybe he's not because his availability is uncertain right now. Are you specking Chris Martin anywhere?
I didn't. They said that he was potentially available yesterday, and I think he'll be fine. So I didn't even worry about the Chris Martin spec, but I understand why people did. Just wasn't something I cared that much about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I'm super chasing, maybe. But some of these other guys I'm more interested in. Jose Leclerc was shaky. David Robertson's spec. Not really available in mains, by the way. So it's going to be shallower leagues where he's going to be available.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think he went in 60. Or no, not he didn't go in 60 mains. He was available in, or he went in 33 mains. Max is $67.
Who, Robertson?
Oh, sorry. I thought we were still talking about Chris Martin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Give me your Chris Martin data there, and then we'll go to Robertson.
Chris Martin was available in picked up in 33 leagues, max 67, min of one. There were some leagues where he just went for a buck. And I think that
I definitely would have done that.
Yeah. There was, seven leagues where he went for less than $10 and a bunch of leagues where he went for less than $25. So, for me, Martin, I think he is the next guy up, but I also, I'm not super worried about him. As far as Robertson's go,
you're not super worried about Jansen, you're saying?
Jansen, yeah.
I'm a little nervous.
I'm not. I think he'd be fine. But maybe I'm wish casting a little bit because I do have Jansen.
There it goes. There it all comes out. It all comes out now.
As far as Robertson goes, Robertson was not available, I don't think, in very many, if any.
Hardly anything, yeah. So are you nervous about Leclerc? Let's just talk about that then.
Yes, because while he did save games from the World Series, and you think they just go right back to him, Bruce Bochy has a long history of just moving on to the next guy. Yeah. You know, all three of the Giants World Series were closed out by three different relievers. And maybe part of that was because Brian Wilson ended up getting hurt. But, you know, they moved on from
Romo was the other one.
Romo and Santiago Casilla was the
last.
That's
right. That's right.
And they did not really give a huge vote of confidence waiting till like the day before or a couple days before the start of the season in terms of even naming him the closer. And I'm pretty sure when he named him named Leclerc the closer, he was all like, Leclerc's the guy for now.
Yep. So David Robertson, 98% rostered in the main event. Definitely the next guy up, but hardly, locked and loaded himself.
He struggled in spring with injury and kind of misperformance. And then his first outing, he didn't look very good. Like
inches from a grand slam to Christopher Morel.
Yeah. Like he was very lucky not to just get blown up himself. So I wonder if Josh Spores
might be this
key pickup.
What about Kirby Yates? Any love for
Kirby Yates, who's done the job before and has looked good? Kirby Yates actually might be the right pickup there. I put a couple bids on Spores, but
Spores is pretty nasty. He got big. Oh, by the way, whenever they talk about him, it sounds like my name. Vague, like I
yeah.
Throughout all the playoffs, I'm like, wait, what? He's got the nasty stuff. 19% swinging strike rate in his two innings so far this year, 16 last year. Yates kind of working his way back. We're pretty far removed from him being a closer. But like you said, Boach is not going to let this flounder. Like if Leclerc looks stinky, he'll go to Robertson. And then if Robertson's stinky, then we're going Spores or Yates for sure. So I think you can spec in the Texas bullpen a little bit. And that's kind of intriguing to me. What about Will Smith in Kansas City? He was unsteady. Is James MacArthur the guy? Are you in on him at all?
MacArthur wasn't really available anywhere in the leagues I play in.
Yeah, he got scooped. So in most, the deep leagues. What about 12s then? Would you go for MacArthur there?
I would, but I put a couple bids just on I always pronounce his name wrong. John Scribner.
Schreiber.
Thank you.
Schreiber.
Yeah, I John put a Schreiber, couple
who they got from Boston. Excuse me.
Yeah, bids on him because you know Kansas City, while they're definitely looks like they're trying to compete a little bit, they also are a team that have been cheap in the past, and maybe they don't want to bump up MacArthur's value in arbitration. So I put some like $2-3 bids on Schreiber and got him in a couple places just to be a little bit sneaky there.
The Kirby Yatesian type play could be Nick Anderson, who you know is never fully closed and always dealing with health issues, but he is in that bullpen as well. MacArthur's the guy. I like Schreiber as the secondary. MacArthur's the guy to go for if you're out on Smith. Yeah. Schreiber's the next one, but Nick Anderson, Chris Stratton, keep him on your radar there if you're really deep specking. Tanner Scott, back to looking sketchy. He kind of fixed himself late in spring. And so people were kind of saying, okay, I'm less nervous about that. My boy Nard Dog, I'm out on him right now, Andrew Nardi, because he's looked nightmarish in spring and to start the season. Anthony Bender was the spec I took when I cut Alex Wood. What do you think about the Tanner Scott, Anthony Bender, Andrew Nardi situation in Miami? And is Sixto Sanchez the Yatesian guy that's like down the list?
I don't think Sanchez is, but... yeah, Bender was my most picked up player this week.
So, oh, okay, awesome. I didn't even know that. I didn't know you were high on him.
He was backup to Foley and Ginkle, but considering I didn't get them pretty much anywhere other than that one spot in labor, I got a lot of Anthony Bender for $3. And I feel pretty good about it. Tanner Scott scares the crap out of me right now. Not like this isn't about a box score scouting or anything like that, but like I watched every single one of those Miami games, and man, when he was in, he looked just like completely overwhelmed by the situation, and he's really having trouble finding the zone, which has been an issue for him in the past. I do worry about now. He could just like we had the same issue earlier on in spring, and then all of a sudden he locked in and he was fine the rest of spring. But if, you know, peered its head around, how long will Miami give him in this role if he continues to struggle?
Yeah, I think that's an open question right now. We got to figure out where they're at. Bender was my go-to, like I said, because Nardi not looking so good. Scott been shaky as hell. Michael Kopech pitches in the seventh and eighth inning across his two outings there, including a 1 2/3 outing. Look good, but no save opportunity for the White Sox to really see where they're going. Do you think Kopech's the guy, or should we be looking at Brebbia and Kopech's a stopper?
I think Brebbia's the guy and Kopech's a stopper. I think Kopech, you know, gets a lot more value for the team as a multi-inning guy. And I think that they're going to let him be kind of that guy who can go two, or 1 2/3 innings, you know, in the sixth or the seventh inning when they want. I think Brebbia came in a tied game in the ninth, held his own, and has pitched on back to back. So I think that Brebbia probably is the guy. The problem is you're just not going to see many save opportunities in Chicago because they suck.
Exactly. So that's why I had them last, because, you know, even if situation did kind of play in his favor, whether you like Brebbia or Kopech, whoever, they're not going to win very often. They are not a very good team. Hey, they held their own a bit with my Tigers. I you know, 3-1 run games, but I did like how my Tigers fought there and did not buckle on the road, getting everything done. So yeah, it, crazy situations at closer right now. I didn't even mention Abner Uribe. He had two saves as well. I kind of skipped to Ginkle there, but looks like he's the dude, right? You cut Trevor Megill where you were specking.
I held on to Megill just one more week in a couple spots.
Oh, okay. But, pardon me. I thought you cut him.
Pyomps did get the save yesterday, but Uribe had worked back to back. So
that was an unavailability thing. Yeah. So yeah. What made you keep Megill then if Pyomps was the one getting the backup save?
I just want to see what they do. I do still kind of wonder if this is going to be a committee situation and they just went to Uribe for the first couple times and maybe they go other places. So
Trevor,
I think
Megill is nasty, by the way. He's Tyler's brother, yeah. For those that don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's no coincidence that they got similar names there. Throws upwards of 100, misses bats. So I understand your interest there.
And he's not subject to arbitration. So, like, yeah, he's like 35. So, like, I just wonder if Milwaukee, who's cheap, says, like, hey, let's get Megill in the mix and but not let any of these guys. Too. Yeah, and I'll take it because he's on a number of my teams because he was the cheapest guy out of the group. And so I sniped in a couple places. I hope it is Uribe, because his stuff is really, really good, but he does have tendency to struggle with control a little bit. Yes. And so if there are a couple blowups, I think they can move quick to one of these other guys.
So stay tuned on Megill and Pyomps. Uribe does throw a million, but that also breeds the volatility control-wise, like you're mentioning. So yeah. I think that is a fair call out, but he was a hot ticket where still available this weekend as well. Okay, Justin, that's going to do it. You got your chat coming up, so I'll go ahead and let you get to that. I wish we had better news. You know, it's all negative news with closers losing their jobs, guys getting hurt, but the season has begun. That's kind of where we're at with things. This week, we will do two starters on Thursday or Friday. We didn't do it last week because we did that big review of opening day, but we'll get into the two start stuff that we did last year. But anyway, Justin, great speaking with you, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Take it easy.